Do you know your story? Your history? Are we really even aware that we are part of a story? What has been known as the greatest story ever told. It's a book that was written, and they made a movie by the same name. A story of the life and the death of Jesus Christ. But it is a story that was written, but it is a story that is yet to be written at the very same time. And each one of us has our own role. Each one of us has our own chapter that we are writing in that story. We all have our role. We are called to build upon the past, to find where we might be going off the path, to find where we're on the right path, and to strengthen that. But if we're off the path, to find our way back to that path. And the very center of that story is Christ. We celebrate this next week, beginning with Palm Sunday, when Christ enters into Jerusalem for the last time. Holy Thursday, the celebration of the institution of the Eucharist. Good Friday, Christ's passion and death. Holy Saturday, the day God sleeps. Easter Sunday, the light is returned to the world, the resurrection and the empty tomb. We need to know this story. We need to know that we are part of this story. A story that has deep roots that go back into the Old Testament. The Jewish people knew their story. And for them, the centerpiece was the Passover, where a lamb was offered in sacrifice, and the blood of the lamb was painted on the doorposts, and the angel of the Lord came and passed over them. We too are immersed in a sacrifice, where it's not an animal sacrifice that we are offered, but we join in the sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God. And it is not simply something that is external, that is painted. It is internal, because we are able to receive Him. We are able to take Him in the Eucharist right into our hearts, into our souls. It is that internal reality that changes us. Remember not the things of the past. See, I am doing something new. We hear this in Isaiah in our first reading, but we also hear it in Revelation, the old and the new. And these events are there for a reason. They help to guide us. But we're not called to cling to them, to hold on to them. If we cling to them, we can't move forward. The new things God desires for us, in order to attain them, we have to let the past guide us, but then let them go as well. The Pharisees are simply caught in the past. They cling to that law of Moses. Their hearts are closed to the newness. They're closed to what God has for them and what He wants to offer them. So they come up with this trap. They bring this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. But when we read this story, where's the man? If they're going to be honest and they're going to follow the law of Moses, both of them deserve to be stoned. But she is nothing to them, simply a pawn in their game. So they bring her to Jesus and they proclaim, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Moses says such one should be stoned. What do you say? This is the trap. The Jews didn't have power to put anyone to death. And so if Jesus would come and say, yes, law of Moses, stoner, they would be able to take him and turn him over to the Roman authorities, have a charge against him to have him arrested as an insurgent. But if he turns away and says, no, let her be, then he's turning against the law of Moses. And that great throng of people that we read about at the beginning of our gospel that followed him into the temple area, they are going to begin to doubt him, and they are going to begin to turn away. So in their eyes, they have this perfect trap. But Jesus sees right through it. He ignores them. He answers their charge with silence. And he bends down and he writes on the ground. We don't know what he's writing. There's commentaries that are full of conjecture, whether he's writing their names, whether he's writing their sins, or is he writing sacred scripture. We don't know. Might have just been writing. But they persist in questioning him. They want to know. Perhaps they don't even notice that he's what he's doing. So he stands up and he says, let the one among you who was without sin cast the first stone. And he bends down and begins to write again. And now they notice. Because one by one they begin to leave. And soon it is only Jesus standing there with the woman. Where are they? Does no one condemn you? She's just been brought in by this crowd embarrassed and thrown into the middle. And now they're all gone. No one, she answers, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Jesus doesn't condemn the woman, but he doesn't condone her actions either. He sees one in front of him, not a pawn, but this person, this daughter of God. And he offers her what she could never imagine. He offers her forgiveness and calls her into conversion at the same time. Go, but from now on, sin no more. Kind of like when we pray the Our Father to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others who have trespassed against us. It can be a very heavy burden. It can be a very challenging thing. But with the grace of God, it is attainable. But we have to know our story. Do you know yours? Would you be able to articulate it if you were called upon? In our first 4 weeks of Lent, it's been a time of reflection on myself. Where am I in my relationship with God? Where is He calling me into that metanoia, into that deep conversion of my entire being? But now we see the sense of Lent begin to change, and it's no longer so much on me, but now it becomes on what Christ has done for me. It's about grace. Like this woman caught in adultery, we are all offered a fresh start. But what does the cost? Neither do I condemn you. With these women, the woman is freed. She is forgiven. But what does it cost her? Go and sin no more. The cost for her, the cost for us, is the changing of our lives. Is it entering into that conversion? But what does it cost Christ to offer this? Everything. His very life. Not simply a change, but life itself. See, I make all things new. There's a famous German theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was killed during the Nazi regime of World War II. And he writes that grace is free, but grace is also costly. It's a gift of God. The unmerited gift of pardon and the loving relationship with our God, this is free, and it transforms our lives. It makes all things new, but this grace is not cheap. This grace came at a very high price. It was paid for by the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, a suffering that He willingly entered into for our salvation. This is the grace that is the centerpiece of that story, the greatest story ever told. It's a story that has been written, but a story that remains to be written. St. Paul realized in his life how much he needed this grace himself. He tells us it's not about having any righteousness based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. Speaking of the resurrection, he says, "It is not that I have already taken hold of it, but I continue in the hope that I may possess it, since I have been taken possession of by Jesus Christ. I do not consider myself to have taken possession." For St. Paul, this grace is a gift. It's a gift we are called to receive, to recognize, and to open our hearts so that we may receive it. It's nothing that we go and earn. It's nothing that we are entitled to. It's nothing that we get for any reason other than it's offered to us. But we can receive it or we can reject it. Forgetting what lies behind, straining to what lies ahead. This is for St. Paul the key. Let the past be the past. See the goal and go for the goal. To strain for the goal, to run to the goal. Not to just simply meander, not to just simply take us where life may take us, but have that goal and strive for that goal. What value do we place on this grace in our lives? It's freely offered every day. In the sacraments, in the Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist, in confession, in our sacramental wedding marriages, in sacred scripture, in prayer, that grace is there. Am I striving for that prize? Or am I just too busy to let life take me where it will? Am I too busy to pay attention? Do I let other things get in my way? A great reflection for this last week of Lent and Holy Week as we prepare our hearts for Easter is to reflect on my story. And what is my story?